With you, I hope that you do. 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3 in your Bible. Please be turning there, and we'll bring a message this morning. As you look around, here we are into August. September's right around the corner. And before long, you probably will not want to hear what I'm going to say, but Christmas will be here. All the kids say amen to that. But how many of you believe that Jesus came and we celebrate Christmas because of his first coming? Say amen. Amen. Well, then if we believe that he came the first time and we wasn't here, we read about it in the Bible, there's more prophecy about his second coming than it was his first coming. And if he came the first time, then we know he's coming the second time. Amen. I believe that we're living in the very, very, very last days, my friend. I don't believe it's going to be long before the church of the Lord Jesus, and I'm not saying Baptist, I'm saying the church of the Lord Jesus, the blood-washed children of God, are going to be raptured out of here. One day, I believe it won't be long, that the trump of God will sound, the dead in Christ will rise. The living shall be changed. We'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And we're out of here. The church, as you know it today, will cease to exist. The blood-washed body of Christ will no longer be here. When that time comes, all those that have put their trust and faith in Christ will leave this world supernaturally. Those that have not will be left behind. That'll be a sad day. But I want you to see this morning how to prepare for the second coming. How to prepare for the second coming. In your Bibles this morning, 1 John chapter number 3, and if you'll stand with me, please, we'll read just 3 verses of Scripture. You say, why do you do that, preacher? Well, they stood in the Old Testament, as someone reminded me just this week. One of our folk here said, you know, when they read in the Old Testament, they stood all day long. And I said, yes, they did. Notice in 1 John chapter number 3, the Bible said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I like what Brother Don Harrell says all the time. Brother Don will be turning 81 the 23rd of this month. And he always says, I'm 78, 79, 80, 81, going on 33. And I believe this, that the Bible said we shall see him and we shall be like him as he is. Jesus was 33 when they crucified him, when they put him in the grave, when he arose again, ascended back to heaven. I believe we'll be in the prime of our life when we shall be like him. No eyeglasses, no hard of hearing, no false teeth, no crippled joints, no shortness of breath, no mental conditions. Thank God we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We'll be complete in Jesus. Read one more verse. And every man hath this hope, in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading of thy word. I pray, blessed Holy Spirit, take the feeble thoughts that we have today, seal them to our hearts, speak to everyone that is present. Holy Ghost of God, I cannot do, I cannot draw, I cannot save, but I know you can. And Father, I just pray right now that you'd take this message, and Father, that you'd speak to every heart, for that one that's lost without Christ, that one that perhaps have sat on a church pew, but today the Holy Spirit of God has arrested their soul already. And I pray that you draw men and women unto yourself, for we pray it in Jesus' name. And for Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, beloved. You may be seated. Hold your Bible open, please, this morning. How can we prepare that Jesus is coming again? Many folks will say to you today that they believe that Jesus is returning. I believe if you took the consensus of America, many folks would say, yes, I believe that Christ is coming again. I believe in the end of the world. I believe in a place called heaven. And many folk today would say, I believe that Jesus is returning. However, many people today are not ready to meet the Lord in the air. When he returns, it'll be too late. You will not have a second chance. You'll not have another opportunity. Brother Goley was talking to me as we came in the church building this morning, and he mentioned, I like what he said. He said, I hate to be late. I like to be early. I like to be early too. Say amen. He said he's only late for work twice in his whole time he worked. You know, today, my friend, you can have an appointment at the doctor. You can have an appointment at the dentist office, and you get there maybe a few minutes late, and you say, hey, I'm sorry, traffic was busy, and I had a flat tire, whatever else, and they'll say, well, we'll try to work you in. My friend, can I tell you, though, that when Jesus comes, there will not be a second chance. There will not be any latecomers. There will not be any that's going to be getting on the bus a few minutes late. Either you're ready now, and when the trump of God sounds, or either you'll be left behind. Now, with that in thought, I want to give you some things this morning. How can we make ready with the coming of Christ? Number one, in your Bibles, Mark chapter 13 and verse number 10. We need to make ready by believing the gospel. The Bible said in Mark chapter 13, verse 10, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. And then the Bible said he would return. Christ's method today is the preaching of the gospel. The Bible said, Paul said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. I like good singing. I like good quartet music. I like good southern gospel music. I like to see plays that glorify the Lord at Christmas time, at Easter time. I like to see all that. But beloved, may I say to you, it's not by the plays that people are saved. It's not by the singing. It's by the preaching of God's precious word. God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It is the preaching of God's precious word. Somewhere, somehow, someplace, you heard the preaching of God's word. It might have been an evangelist. It might have been a pastor. It might have been a church member somewhere that told you about the old story of a Savior that came from glory. But without the preaching of God's word, men cannot and will not be saved. It is the responsibility of everyone that is a blood-washed children of God to proclaim the message. Now listen to me. I still believe this. I believe the Bible teaches that God calls men to preach the gospel. Say amen. Now listen, you might say today, preacher, there's some women preachers on TV. What do you think about that? My friend, the Bible said, let the preacher be the husband. Let the pastor, the bishop, be the husband of one wife. And friend, I don't see how that could happen. Say amen. You say, well, so-and-so, they say some good stuff. But honey, I got news for you. God didn't call the women to preach. Amen. You might say, preacher, that's narrow-minded. I didn't say it. God said it. Take it up with him. I'm preaching what God said to do. But I'm going to tell you something. There's some good godly women that can proclaim the message. It might be at work. It might be beside of the bedside of a dying saint. It might be somewhere in the hospital. But you could speak to somebody about the Lord Jesus. It doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter what race you are. Doesn't matter what gender you are, male or female. But the Bible said we are to carry the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. The sad part in our country today, many people are not proclaiming the message. May I say to you today, Ezekiel chapter 3 has something to say about that. If you've got lost family members, if you've got lost acquaintances, you've got people that you work with, here's what Ezekiel says. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speaketh to warn the wicked of his wicked way, to save his life, the same man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hands. Do you hear me, church? The Bible said, if I, as a child of God, don't warn the wicked man of his wicked ways, if I don't tell that sinner he's lost, if I don't love that sinner, if I don't pray for that sinner, my friend, he said that when he dies, his blood will stand at the judgment seat, I believe, and we'll have blood dripping from our fingertips, the blood of men and women that we've never told about the saving grace of God. People that'll die lost in their sins, acquaintances, family, friends, folks you work with, when they die without Christ, there's no second coming back. There's no second chance for them. There's no purgatory. It's either heaven or hell. And my friend, if you don't warn the wicked of his wicked ways, when he dies, his blood will drip from your fingertips. I believe there'll be mothers that their blood of their sons will drip from their fingertips. There'll be daddies that will have blood to drip from their fingertips of their children. They didn't tell about Christ. It was one thing to send them to church, but daddy never went. Daddy never told. Daddy was not the example. My friend, let me tell you something. You'll stand before God. You'll give an account one day, and those that you see cast into hell, I believe you'll stand there, and the blood will drip from your fingertips of family and friends and folk that you never told about Jesus. There are those today that will hear the message, but they'll never respond to the message. My friend, may I say, if you're sitting here today, God does not owe you an iota. He does not owe you a red cent. He does not owe you a second chance. Today, if you hear this man's voice, today is the day of salvation. Don't turn him away. Don't reject him again. You may die before you get home. A heart attack may take you out of here. A car accident may take you out of here. If you hear the message and reject the message, you'll die lost. Spend eternity in the devil's hell. But my friend, how can we, as God's people, prepare? We can preach the gospel. We can proclaim the old story. We can glorify the Son of God and say, Jesus lives. He still saves sinners. He still washes sins away. Second of all, how can you get ready for the second coming? By abiding in his word. John 5:39, search the scriptures. And the Bible said, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they that which are testify of me. Beloved, those that read this blessed old book are looking for his return. Those that love this blessed old book are looking for his return. May I ask you a pointed question today? I'll not ask you to raise your hand, but here's the question. Compared to how much time you've watched television this week, compared to the amount of time that you've spent on doing activities this week, on the amount of time that you spent on the telephone this week, how much time have you put into God's precious word? Oftentimes, people will come on Sunday, they'll find their Bible, they'll dust the dust off of it, or either they'll lay it in the back of the car, they'll not take it out until next Sunday, bring it into church house. They don't know their Bible. They don't know where to find the books of the Bible. If I were to stand up and start preaching something that wasn't in the book, then some folk wouldn't even have a clue. My friend, let me tell you something. Is that you can prepare for the coming of Christ by loving this book and reading this book and falling in love with this book. It is the soul, the balm of your soul. It is the food for your soul. And without reading it, you're going to get weak. You're going to get weak. You're going to fall into temptation. You're going to succumb to the tricks of the devil. Without this book, you'll not be able to live for God. Listen, those that look for His coming are looking and reading this book, recognizing He could come at any minute. You realize this Bible right here is more up to date than tomorrow's newspaper? Say amen. You want to know what's going to happen tomorrow? Read this book. You want to know what's going to happen to Russia? Read this book. You want to know what's going to happen to Israel? Read this book. Listen, my friend, I would to God that folks today would have a holy hunger for the Word of God, and they would say, I've got to get in this Word. I've got to spend time in this Word. And spending so much time on Facebook, let's spend it in the faith book. Say amen. Instead of spending so much time talking to other folks, let's spend it talking to Jesus. Instead of spending so much time watching television, let's turn the boob tube off and get in this book. Amen. Good preaching, preacher. Number three, how do we get ready for the second coming? By living a holy life. Go back to 1 John for a minute. 1 John chapter 3 again, the verses we just read. If we believe that Jesus could come in any minute, and let me just stop right there. How many of you in the bottom of your heart, in the depths of your soul, believe this? It is now 12:05. You don't need to look at your watch, I'll tell you. I ain't finished yet. But how many of you believe that it's 12:05? How many believe that Jesus could come at 12:00? Say amen. Amen. At 11:59. 11:58, 56, 55. How many of you believe that any second Jesus could split the eastern skies and we out of here? Y'all believe it? Well, the Bible said this in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. I don't believe that some folk are going to love His appearing when He comes back. When I was growing up, I by myself, having a good old time, burning some stuff, burning some logs and wood and stuff. And lo and behold, there appeared my sister. I will confess to you today, I did not love her appearing. Because I knew that dog was smarter than I. He went back to the house, got my sister, and brought her out in the woods where I had a campfire going. Of course, naturally, I put the fire out. And then Daddy put the fire out. Say amen. But when I was around that fire, see, and all of a sudden I looked up, there stood my sister Brenda. I did not jump up and shout and say, "Whoa, glory to God, it's so good to see you. Hallelujah. Man, I'm glad that you appeared." No, I felt embarrassed, ashamed, guilty. All them feelings. Beloved, I say this to you today, is that we as God's people, when He shall appear, will you love His appearing? Or will you be caught in something that you wish to God that you had not been doing, and you'll have a red-faced and embarrassed and guilty, and you'll say, "Oh, I wasn't expecting you to come." I tell you what we ought to do. We ought to do this. One Sunday, I just like to do this. I like to believes that Jesus is coming back, and I like to
just go down randomly. And I like to thrust, just get scattered out. Over just saying, over there, funeral home. And here's what I like for us to do. I like for us to just walk out there and just look up. You know what's going to happen, don't you? People are going to come out there and go, Jesus said in Matthew 24, "Watch and be ye ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." We need to have a watch Sunday when we go out and look for His coming and say to that crowd that walks by, "We're expecting Him to come any old time. He's coming back." We need to live a holy life. If a person, my friend, can live in willful sin, and hear me out, I'm not being a judge, I'm trying to be a fruit inspector, if anything, but you hear me out. If a person says they love God and they don't come to church, they don't read their Bible, they don't pray, they don't want to be around Christian folk, they want to sit at home, watch the television set, have no regard for the things of God, my friend, they didn't get the same thing I got. I love to be around God's people. I want to be in a preaching service. I want to be where God is. Amen. I was in church Tuesday. I was in church Wednesday. I was in church Friday this week. Friday, listen, most Baptists couldn't handle Friday. We had 11 different preachers. Started at 1 o'clock. I got out at 9 o'clock. Praise God, we had some of the best preaching down here I've seen in a long time. Oh, you say, "Preacher, you like that, honey?" I like that. Why? Because they said I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of our God." I like it. Fourth of all, quickly this morning, how do we get ready? We need to get ready by continuing in prayer. You realize prayer moves the heart of God. Now listen to me. If we really believed in prayer, this altar would be filled before I ever give an invitation. If we believed in prayer, Wednesday night would be a time where folks would come in with their needs and burdens and their petitions. If we believed in prayer, we'd see God do something. But my friend, the church today, as Leonard Ravenhill said, the church that is not praying is a church that is playing. We need to get back to praying and getting a hold of the altar of God, begging and pleading, and God would do something. I want y'all to hear Brother Nolan Jackson, and I've learned to appreciate this man. But if there's one man in America that I would say is a prayer warrior beside Brother Wayne Warren, Brother Nolan Jackson. I'm not saying this to brag on him. I'm telling you, this is a man. 5 o'clock Saturday morning, I got a text message from him. And he was praying for me. 5 o'clock in the morning. July the 4th, I got a text message at 2 o'clock. He was praying for this old boy. Listen, you say, "Doesn't he have anything else to do?" I'm sure he's got other folks he's praying for. I talked to his son. He said, "It's not uncommon that daddy stay up all night, pray all night long." Would to God we'd have some Christians like that. Amen. That in these last days, as we see the signs of His coming, as we see, listen, you've got lost children, you've got lost family members. If would to God we've got burdens on every hand, we've got the devil fighting us tooth and toenail. Would to God we'd have some old-fashioned Bible-believing, God-fearing people get on their face before God, and when the sun comes up over the horizon, they'd be able to say, "I've heard from heaven, and everything's going to be all right." Need some prayers. Daniel said in chapter 9, "In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years wherein the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." Daniel said, when I saw the vision, when I understood the end of this thing, when I saw the prophecy, Daniel said, instead of going out and pulling my hair out, what little bit I got, Daniel said, what I did, I got down on my face and I began to pray. Church, we're living in exciting times. We're living in some dangerous time. We're living in perilous time. But thank God, we're living in exciting time. I believe this church, I believe we as a body of Christ, thank God, I believe.
believe that we'll see Jesus one evening. I believe he's coming back. I believe he's coming back. One concern. Samuel Chadwick said this: the one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, and prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, but trembles when we pray. Someone said this: the devil trembles when he sees the weakest Christian on their knees. Amen. How else we get ready? Let me give you one more thing. We get ready by using our talents for the Lord. If you hadn't turned to your Bible, and I hope you got one, turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 for a minute. Hang on with me. Somebody told me recently, and I appreciate this, but somebody told me recently, "Preacher, don't be so worried about the time. Hey, when I come, I want to get in. I don't want to get out." Amen. I know. Somebody said, "Well, preacher, I got this to do, that to do." Well, just hang on. I believe God will give you something. 2 Peter, though, here's what I want to say. 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse 10. Here it is. If you found your place, say amen. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. My house has been broken into before. When we was in Chattanooga, Tennessee, our house was broken into. My car was broken into. We lived in a rough neighborhood. I've had my things stolen from me when I was living in the parsonage. Praise God, somebody broke into our storage room, stole all the meat out of the freezer in the parsonage. I went down to the fellowship hall one day and confronted the thief. He went out the back door as I went in the front door. Neither one of them times did they call me and say, 'Hey, by the way, Brother Frank, we're coming to break in.' Neither one time did a thief call me up and say, 'Hey, by the way, we're going to come over tonight when you're sleeping.' He came as a thief. The Bible said the Lord will come as a thief of the night, unannounced, by surprise, in the which," now watch this, listen to me, if you don't have your Bible open, listen, "in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Stop right there. Do you realize you're sitting on a pew that's going to be burned up? You realize you're sitting in a church that's going to be burned up? You realize you're driving a car that's going to be burned up? You realize the money in your pocketbook's going to be burned up? Your clothes going to be burned up? Everything you got is going to be burned up. Isn't that what the book said? Isn't that what the book said? I mean, listen, everything, the furniture you got, the home you got, the beach house you got, the mountain house you got, the boat you got, everything you got, it's going to be burned up. Now, I understand something. I understand. We had a mission meeting yesterday. Brother Ricky Cox, I went by. Y'all don't throw no rocks at me. I went by Krispy Kreme and got some donuts. And we took them over to Brother Ricky's church. We sat around. The folks was going. And we had a donut and had something to drink. And Brother Ricky's wife, you got to know his wife, Amy. She's a jewel of a lady. But I tell you what. She's something else. When Krispy Kreme opened in Burlington, her and her three kids camped out all night at Krispy Kreme. And so now they get a dozen of donuts each per week for a year. So they get free 4 dozen donuts a month for a year. And somebody looked at me yesterday and said, "Man, that's like they're $7.50 a dozen." I knew I paid for them. And they're $7.50 a dozen. 2 dozen is $15. And I said, "Man, that's $60 a month in donuts." He said, "Yeah, the big pirate don't accept donuts." I understand you have to have some money to live. I mean, you pull up to the service station, they're not going to give you gas on your good looks. Leastwise, they haven't me yet. I'm still trying, but I, Hey, I understand that. I understand why God gives you what He gives you. But honey, can I tell you something? He said, when you die and you leave it all behind, whether it's $5 or $500 or $5,000 or $5 million, it's all going to be burned up. So don't you think it'd be good invested in something that ain't going to get burned up? Put it in eternity's values. The Bible said this, is that we need to serve the Lord in these last days with our talents. Now, I'm about done. Look there in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, and reading. And he says, seeing then all these things that shall be dissolved, all these things, what manner of persons ought you be in holy conversation and godliness? And here's what I want to leave you with. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, when the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. My daddy was in World War II. He was in the invasion force for Nagasaki. He was on board ship when they dropped the atomic bomb on Nagasaki. He went in Nagasaki 30 days after they dropped the atomic bomb. This is 1945, folks. He told me and showed me pictures that he took. It got so hot that the sand melted and ran like a river. 1945, that atomic bomb, we've got stuff today that just make that look like a little matchstick. The Bible says that one of these days, God's going to baptize this world in fire. Everything's going to be burned up. Now here's what I want you to see. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of our Lord. We need to be looking. But that word there, and God has such a wonderful way. I was thinking about this message. In fact, I've been working on this for over a week, Sister Penny. And Friday night, I was coming home late, and I had on a radio station out of Lynchburg, Virginia. And Dr. Adrian Rogers, who was with the Lord today, was speaking, and he was preaching on that verse, and this is what he said. And I stuck it up here in my mind, and I went back and looked it up just to be sure. But when he says hasten, how can we hasten the day of the Lord to come? Oh, you say, preacher, God knows in turn to pass when that day is. Yes, sir, He does. We don't. But I want to ask y'all a question. Be honest with me. How many of you really? I mean, this whole world is getting pretty wicked. Amen. I mean, it's getting pretty vile. It's getting pretty raunchy down here. And a lot of people, I hear people say, hey, I wish Jesus would just come back. I wish He'd go ahead and take us out of here before all this junk happens and before all this mess happens. I wish Jesus, I hope I don't get cancer. I hope Jesus comes before that. I hope I don't die of a heart attack. I hope Jesus comes. Can I tell you something, how you can hasten His day along? Huh? Now, here's how. One preacher the other day said to me, he said, I got a wedding to do. He said, I'd rather do a funeral any day than a wedding. He said, when you do a funeral, at least they can't come back and talk about it. I've done many weddings. I've probably done more funerals in my time than I have done weddings, but every wedding is like this. I know somebody's getting married right now. Lord have mercy. Every time you turn around, they're at the bridal shop. They're doing that. They're getting prepared. They're not getting married sometime at the end of the year. The man of life, they got, you know, it's all, you know, don't call everything, you know. It's like, got to get all the flowers, got to get all this, got to get all that. And the bride's got to get that dress, and she's got to have everything perfect, just perfect, perfect. And then the doors open. Bridegroom stand down here, and that bride comes marching down the aisle. Can I tell you something, church? Everyone in here that is saved is a part of the bride of Christ. Amen? But the bride is not complete. She is not quite ready. I mean, she's about probably 3/4, 7/8, somewhere around there, but she is not ready. I'll tell you how she can get ready. When you and I go out and tell others about the saving grace of God, and when we take this old story and share with them Jesus Christ, and another sinner gets saved,
birthed in the family of God, placed in the body of Christ, becomes a part of the bride of Christ, then guess what? He will hasten up and come on back. Amen. How can we do that?
By telling others, Jesus saves. Last here, and I said, we can make ready by expecting Him. A mother and a dad told their son over and over again, their son was not a Christian. They kept telling their boy, "Son, you better get saved. You need to get saved because Jesus is coming back." The boy went ahead and joined the army. Went off. This was back in the 50s. He went to Korea and was serving time in Korea. Somehow or another, they gave him an extended furlough. He said, "I was surprised. My mom and daddy, I won't tell them I'm coming." But he got on board a plane and flew back to the United States, got to his hometown, walked down to his house. When he did, he opened the door and he said, "Mama, daddy, I'm home. I'm home." There was no sound. There was no stirring. Mom and daddy wasn't there. He ran to the bedroom. They wasn't there. He looked in the dining room. They wasn't there. He looked all over the house. He went outside. He hollered, "Mama, daddy, where are you?" And he believed that the rapture had taken place and he'd been left behind. His mom and daddy kept telling him, "Son, you better get ready. One of these days, Jesus is coming. When he comes, we're going up. You're going to be left behind." And that young man thought he had missed the rapture. What he didn't know, his parents had taken a vacation unexpectedly. He did not know they were out of town. But he thought that the rapture had taken place and he went insane. He lost his mind, ended up in an insane asylum, because he thought he had missed the rapture. How do you prepare? You better get ready. You might pull in this parking lot one day and see there's a lot of, you're the only car that's here, maybe two cars here. And you get out and you walk up and the doors are locked. You say, "Where is everybody? It's time for church. It's 11 o'clock. It's time to get started. Where's the choir at? Where's the preacher at? Is he running late today?" My friend, it's coming a day when the Lord Jesus is going to come back. He's going to come silently. He's going to come quickly. He's not going to come where you see Him unless you're saved. If you're lost, you'll never see Him. You'll never hear Him. He'll be come and gone before you know it. And the Christians will be gone. Get ready. "For in such hours you think not, Son of Man coming."